all in all, because all is related to everything else, and everything is part of the all. A weekly space on Oneness Talk Radio to explore topics of interest for our whole being, holism, health and well-being, philosophical questions and ideas for our times, and much more. All in All with Silvana Spano, therapist, holistic health coach, healer, and teacher. Hi to all my listeners once again. I'm back this week with my first interview or conversation with a guest. And the theme of today is cognitive health from the holistic perspective. As I had announced earlier, here I am with Patrick Cody, my husband, my partner, and colleague. And we are ready to have a conversation that will hopefully clarify what we do in the area of cognitive health in order to support our clients, not just with recovery, but also very much with prevention. So welcome, Patrick. I'm so excited that you're here today. As I've been telling my listeners about this episode and about the fact that I plan to interview you many times in this program so that the audience can take advantage of your vast knowledge in the areas of natural and holistic health. So please tell us about yourself and your background.
Thank you so much, Silvana. Thank you for your kind words. Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick, and I'm passionate about health and healing. I thoroughly enjoy supporting clients back to optimal health. I have quite a non-traditional background when it comes to healthcare. I was a all-natural bodybuilder for many years, and in doing so, I undertook an education that included numerous courses. I read tons of books, took a lot of seminars and even mentorships from leaders in the field of naturopathy and nutrition. And then my interests expanded to include various healing modalities. My first training was in therapeutic touch and then emotional freedom technique and many others. And on the other side of the spectrum, I became a technician in microcurrent and laser and many other therapies. I then had my world expanded by the concept of holism, primarily from you. And then I started to work as part of a team to support clients with their health. At that point, I was mentoring and coaching clients who more frequently wanted my support on recovery from health-related issues, as well as prevention. The team and myself had very good success. I enjoyed the work, and so I got serious and became an integrative nutrition health coach and undertook a specialization and in-depth training in functional blood chemistry analysis.
That's right. I've already been explaining to the audience that for several years now, we've specialized in health coaching for cognitive, brain, and neurological health, which is what we want to focus on today. So if you could tell the story of how we came to this, how we found ourselves helping more and more clients in this area, that would be great.
Well, it starts with us coming down to South America. We initially ended up in Colombia as healthcare practitioners in an eco village, which was exciting. It got us connected to people all over South America, and we ended up eventually starting a healthcare clinic in Cuenca, Ecuador, and realizing that most of our clients were retired. And very quickly, we realized that a significant number of them actually had cognitive, brain, and neurological issues. And so they would originally come to us with issues that were mostly physical, but it didn't take us long to realize that a lot of people that were retired were having issues with what we call now mild cognitive impairment initially, and much more severe, including Alzheimer's and dementia and MS and Parkinson's. And when we realized the situation, which was that it was probably a pandemic, it was startling the number of people that were having issues, we realized that we needed to focus more on these types of imbalances and help our clients recover.
That's right. And then we also figured that with the issue of altitude, which is less oxygen availability for us to uptake, it made our client population very vulnerable, even more vulnerable to cognitive decline.
I remember realizing that this is an area we needed to put more effort into. This is probably about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe become specialized in this area. And when I looked into the statistics, I remember that they were just horrendous.
That's right.
146% increase in Alzheimer's since Y2K. I remember reading a statistic where Alzheimer's is diagnosed about every 4 seconds. There are 10 million families in North America that provide unpaid care to people with cognitive impairment. I remember the statistic about the average cost burden to a family with Alzheimer's is $300,000. And I was thinking, wow, we really need to pay attention to this explosion, literally, in our mm-hmm. community of a specific health issue. And at elevation with hypoxia or lack of oxygen, it compounded the situation.
Exactly. And so us specializing more and more in this area prepared us not just to support our clients locally in Ecuador, but many of our clients around the world who may not live at elevation, but have cognitive, brain, and neurological issues. Because as you said, that's the reality right now for a lot of people. So can you tell the audience what types of interventions we use with our clients to help them recover from cognitive health issues or to prevent?
Yes, certainly. When someone comes to us, they've generally got a previous diagnosis. That happens quite often. So they'll indicate that they have this kind of issue or that kind of issue. So they'll have diagnostics that might include blood tests, for instance. We take a look at the symptoms and health history, the interventions that have been used to date, and what kind of success they've had. After that, there's a very thorough analysis of diet and maybe supplements. We have to clearly understand the medications that they're on. And in many cases, especially with people that are dealing with Alzheimer's, MS, Parkinson's, any of the autoimmune neurological issues, we will probably end up recommending additional blood tests and taking a look at those blood tests from a functional blood chemistry analysis perspective to really get to the bottom of what's going on. And when we do all that, we definitely take the time as well, which is maybe a little bit different than the current dominant model, which is the physician model, where unfortunately, and we know quite a few brilliant physicians, they don't have the time to really dive into all of this information and get to the bottom of things.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more what our clients need to do in terms of implementation of changes?
Okay. Initially, our clients will need to understand that a holistic perspective means that there's a broad range of interventions and changes that have to be made. And primary amongst those is diet. Mm-hmm. And there may be people that are enthusiastic about that and that embrace that quickly and are willing to make those changes. And maybe there's others that were kind of hoping that that wasn't the cause of their issues, but it is primary.
Why is it so important when it comes to brain, cognitive, and neurological health? Why what we eat, our nutrition, and diet are so important?
That's a really good question. And it's something that has been brought to the world stage in the last decade primarily, and people may have heard of the gut-brain axis. But clearly what's happened very recently is we've begun to understand that there's a direct connection between the health of the intestinal tract and the health of the brain. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, if someone has inflammation in the intestinal tract, or maybe they have something like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or irritable bowel syndrome. There's a range of terms, but the bottom line is that the intestinal tract is not doing as well. As soon as that's at play, that directly affects the health of the brain. Now, I know that sounds kind of strange to begin with. However, what we've begun to realize recently is that many of the neurotransmitters that we thought were only produced in the brain are actually produced also in the intestinal tract. And they actually may be produced mostly mm-hmm. in the small intestine.
Yeah.
And there's also a connection between the fact that if the intestinal tract is more permeable than it should be, in other words, let's say that you eat foods that have a very small amount of poison on them, and you do that for a long period of time, that eventually that dysregulates the intestinal tract, okay? And then you get what's called leaky gut. And when leaky gut happens, eventually things like partially digested food particles and virus and bacteria and even parasites enter the body when they shouldn't. And that dysregulates the immune system, and it does break the blood-brain barrier, mm-hmm. and it doesn't take long for that to have a dramatic impact on cognitive health.
That's right. And the inflammation caused by an inadequate diet doesn't just stay in the digestive tract, of course. It starts there, but it spreads to the brain, where it causes cells there to malfunction. Can you now say a few words about the role of cleansing and detoxing? Why do they have a role in recovery or prevention of cognitive, brain, and neurological health issues?
Okay, so going back to the gut, when the intestinal tract is now allowing things that shouldn't be coming through the lining, going to the liver first, clogging the liver, and then going into circulation, we have what's called an acute inflammatory response, and this is good. I mean, it's good that the body is firing, I call it firing big guns, big bullets at the bad guys. And you can take care of the situation relatively quickly. The immune system is brilliant when it's functioning properly. However, that acute inflammatory response isn't supposed to be on all the time. And if it is, we can quickly see that acute inflammatory response turn into chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And when that occurs, you basically have tissue not working as well. And that's all tissue not working as well. So now you have bad guys that shouldn't be there, and they're doing damage. And you also have collateral damage from your immune system because it's not supposed to be firing big bullets all the time at bad guys, so you have what we call collateral damage. And when tissue's inflamed, it doesn't function as well. And a lot of people think that, okay, well, that's fine. I understand that in the body, but I'm protected, right? My brain's protected from inflammation in my body. And unfortunately, one of the first things to go when we have inflammation is the blood-brain barrier. So that protective mechanism that is in place naturally to ensure that the brain stays healthy, because of course it runs the show, is adversely affected almost immediately as soon as there's this inflammation that ultimately is coming from intestinal tract inflammation or leaky gut.
That's right. And just like some people have a bit of resistance to looking at the diet piece and making changes there, I also see that there are some people that are quite resistant to the cleansing and detoxing. So can you speak a little more about this piece so our listeners can understand the importance of it, in this case for cognitive and brain health?
Most people, I think, realize that toxins and pathogens are bad, and that we naturally are cleansing and detoxing on a daily basis. I think where most people may not understand this well enough is the fact that we're overloaded. Mm-hmm. We're overloaded, and our body's natural mechanisms for cleansing and detoxing are not keeping up. And so there's a net accumulation of these bad guys, toxins, pathogens, parasites. And there's not only an accumulation, but there's a cumulative effect.
That's right.
And when this occurs over time, eventually tissue is adversely affected. And I'll give you an example. So let's say we take a look at the cell, because ultimately it always comes down to the function of the cell. And what occurs when there's too many toxins and the immune system's underfunctioning is that you end up with an accumulation of toxins inside the cell. And when that occurs, it doesn't take long for those toxins, for that waste, for instance, to adversely affect the function of the cell, even the function of the mitochondria. So you have decreased specific function issues. So that cell does a job and it doesn't do it as well anymore. The energy that's needed, that's produced by the mitochondria in that cell, is adversely affected. So that cell isn't getting the energy it needs to function properly. And ultimately what that means is it's really important to see what we can do to assist the body to cleanse and detox more effectively, and right down to the cell level. And when we undertake cleansing and detoxing, it starts first with stopping what it is that's accumulating in the body. Mm-hmm. So you have to, the first part of cleansing and detoxing starts with diet, and it starts with your environment. And it means that you have to become aware of where the toxins are coming from.
So can you tell us some of the sources where we're getting all of these inorganic toxins, such as chemicals, and also the bugs, right, in quotation marks?
That's right. I imagine that most of us now realize that many of the toxins that are problematic are coming from our food. Mm-hmm. Initially, and of course the research backs this up, initially we thought that a small amount of neurotoxin or a small amount of toxins that cause cancer were perfectly fine because they were such a small amount. This was the idea behind spraying pesticides and fungicides and algicides on the food that we ate. And the research proved that within 6 weeks or 2 months, there was negligible effect on our health. Of course, those studies were done in the 50s and in the 60s. And we have now been eating a tiny amount of poison on our food for well over 65 years. And now we're beginning to realize that's where there's an effect. So the effect is that those toxins build up, damage tissue, and really the primary source is our diet.
So now, tell us about the technology that we also recommend to speed up healing. What is it? How important is it in our holistic approach, and how can people access it? You can start from the beginning, from the story of how we came to know it.
Okay. It was a client, actually, a number of years ago now, that introduced it to me. He had a brochure, and he brought it to the office for a session. And I took a look at it and was shocked, because I know you and I pride ourselves on understanding what's going on out there in technology and innovations in the field of health and wellness. And I had never seen anything like this, but it did remind me of the technology pioneered by the Russians, which was fiber optic cable inserted into veins, and they would fire laser light down the fiber optic cable, and that light would enter the blood and change it pretty dramatically. And I thought, my goodness, I wonder if this little simple light that clips inside the nose does something similar, because I realized very quickly the reason that this little light device was clipped inside the nasal cavity, because as everyone's aware, the blood vessels are very close to the surface inside the nose, and I could see that this light was probably penetrating the blood vessels and irradiating the blood. And I thought, I wonder if this is eliminating rouleau formation like the Russian technology, if it was dramatically improving the blood's capacity to transport oxygen and other nutrients. And I was so excited, I remember phoning the company, and I realized this was a tiny little mom and pop operation with a brand new technology that they were hoping would take off. It was out of Toronto, Canada. And I actually was talking to the co-founder of the company, and she spoke with me for an hour on the phone. And, well, we got the technology into Ecuador. We started using it with our clients, and the results were dramatic. As it turns out, it did reverse red blood cell clumping and improve oxygen levels. We became authorized resellers and deepened our relationship with the owners. And soon we flew to Toronto to see the new prototype of a technology they had just developed specifically for cognitive health. This was what they called a transcranial and intranasal. So it had the little light that goes in the nose, but it also had a number of different near-infrared emitters that you wore like a little band on your head that fired near-infrared through the skull and into the brain. And the preliminary studies were quite amazing, but the results were even better. We took the prototype back to Ecuador and we started using it with our clients who had Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, and also people that just had mild cognitive impairment. And
Or no impairment.
I started using it, you started using it.
Yeah.
And I was super excited by the results for me, especially for anyone who's interested in meditation. I thought it was pretty dramatic what it did for my capacity to get to a place in meditation, which was wonderful. I used it to improve my sleep. My problem-solving skills improved. So,
yeah, as clinicians, we can say that the range of applications is actually much wider than, of course, what the research was done on or the company can claim. But with our application with our clients, we have seen it work in so many different situations, haven't we?
Very inspiring, super inspiring. Changed our practice, really. And then things kept on getting better. The company expanded, they got funding for some additional clinical research, and they came out with some of the first production units. So the prototype was wonderful, but the production units were much more powerful and specific to some cognitive or neurological issues, and we started using those with our clients and ourselves. And in the past year, they just came out with a brand new unit which stimulates the brainstem, and that's specifically important for people that have movement issues and for people that have Parkinson's. We've already seen pretty dramatic results when it's used with the other technology. So it just keeps on getting better and better. And now we have a range of devices at our disposal that we can recommend depending on the needs of our clients.
Can you say a few words about the name of the field that this falls under nowadays, which is a new field but growing and a very exciting field at that?
They call it photobiomodulation. And this is really a field that encompasses a number of light technologies. So it can be laser, it can be near infrared, it can be red light emitted by diode or LED, and it's really changing a lot of things in healthcare.
Mm-hmm. So what's the role of this technology in our holistic approach? How would you explain that?
Well, it's certainly a standalone product and a technology that people could use just by itself, and that's super powerful.
Because the research was done on the technology without any additional interventions.
And now there's much more research and it's conclusive. So people can use it as a standalone technology, and of course the way we practice is we like to use it holistically, so we use it as part of a number of different lifestyle changes. I guess the big advantage to the technology is that if you are changing diet and cleansing and detoxing and you're looking for results, what we've noticed is that it probably improves the speed, really, at which you get results. So if we're used to getting changes in 2 or 3 months with lifestyle changes like diet and cleansing and detoxing, etc., it's probably slightly less than half that time when people consistently use the technology. So that means that clients that maybe in the past would have quit are now very motivated and excited to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's both. It's the encouragement that people get from using the technology as well as its very real effects.
Absolutely.
And if you had to highlight the most important effect that this technology has on the brain, which of course can be beneficial for many, many different conditions, what would you say it is?
The near infrared that's pulsed and penetrates the brain stimulates neurons, and it dramatically improves ATP production, which is the fuel that the cell needs to function properly. It improves cell membrane permeability, so you've got greater capacity to bring nutrients, fuel, oxygen, glucose into the cell and waste out. And very exciting is that it actually stimulates neurons to function at a higher level, and it actually supports the production of new neurons and neural networks. So you actually are going to regrow brain cells. Yeah.
That's very, very exciting. In terms of oxygen, what else can you tell us about the use of the technology to improve uptake and utilization, and on the role of oxygen in all of the conditions that are associated with brain and cognition and neurological health?
The major issues that most people are going to experience when they have a cognitive or brain issue have to do with hypoxia or anemia or lack of oxygen. So whether that's a stroke and there's been lack of oxygen getting to the tissue that's beyond the clot, or whether it's what they're now calling type 3 diabetes, which is Alzheimer's, which is really insulin resistance, which means that the brain is not getting the glucose into the cell, and that elevated glucose is wiping oxygen out in the blood. And again, ultimately, it all comes down to oxygen. It's the most important nutrient in the body. And when we lack it, everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. And when we improve the capacity to carry blood oxygen, and when we improve the capacity of the cells and neurons to take oxygen in, we're improving cognitive health and we're on the road to recovery.
That's right. So this technology helps with all of that, and we obviously recommend that people, if they're at all inclined to work holistically, that they do that. But it is definitely a standalone technology. We help people who want to receive coaching from us or who just want to access the technology. So we encourage the listeners to give us a call or send us an email or access more information through our own website at globalwellness.solutions, or by watching our webinar, which has access actually from the radio show's page on Oneness Talk Radio. So
yeah, they can get more information in the webinar. It's 40 minutes and it's jam-packed with information. Shows you what the technology looks like and talks about what it does.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Patrick. I'd like to remind the audience of All in All that you will be back on this program again very soon to continue with these conversations about holistic health and what we can do to help ourselves regain balance and prevent issues so that we may live with vibrant health.
I look forward to it.
In closing, I would like to remind you that we extend the same offers to you and to your loved ones. And everyone knows someone with either mild or more advanced cognitive decline these days. Plus, as you've heard, the recommendations and the technology we use are excellent for prevention and for cognitive and consciousness enhancement. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Thank you for listening to today's program. I wish you a week ahead filled with blessings for your body, heart, and soul, and hope that you tune into All in All next time. If you're bilingual or learning Spanish, I invite you to stay on and listen to the Spanish version of this episode. Coming up next, ciao!